You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes!
That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. Down with the King
for years, about 10 of them. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus. Sunny days, everybody loves them, but tell me, can you stand the rain, Vandenberg? How you doing this week, brother?
I thought that was a Brett Sean reference at first.
Sunny days.
still the greatest 90s sneak diss in a promo ever.
That was Shawn Michaels was kind of originating petty.
He was petty, man.
Throwing shade before shade was even a turn.
Yep.
So speaking of shade, you've actually got weather out there in Los Angeles tonight.
Let me fire up the Doppler 7000 for you. It's recording Friday night, and it was advertised as the worst storm in LA in I think 11 years, and it's delivering so far. It's a little wet outside.
Okay. So how are you and your fellow Angelinos coping with this unforeseen and unknown force of nature?
I would say not well, and part of it is not our fault. It's we've had a lot of rain this winter, so the grounds are really saturated, and the flooding is something we can't control. And I'm looking at the news now, and a lot of the freeways in LA tonight are just flooded with from the water. So at that point, I mean, there's only so much you can do when you can't drive around.
Right.
Rain, you know, this is handled a lot better in other major cities that are used to having rain and used to having clear drains and pipes and all that stuff. But, you know, when it rains 4 inches in a day, that's a lot for the city.
Is that a dam still acting up, the Oroville Dam?
I believe they drained it to the point where it should be fine. That's about... ooh, probably 6 or 7 hours north of here, luckily.
Okay, so you're not in the immediate path.
No, I'm not. But they did drain it down some.
I was watching because I watch Rachel Maddow during the week, and I think she is one of the best in the business, just because she has a way of telling stories that you would think don't apply to politics, and then bringing it back around. And she was doing something about how small things could turn into bigger things, talking about the Trump cabinet appointees, and she was talking about this dam, and she's like, you know, if you look at it from this way, it doesn't look like a big deal, but if you take this other view, and then they did like the overhead view with two guys actually in there trying to work on some stuff, and that thing is huge. And I was like, oh well, hopefully Marcus is all right, because I don't feel like looking for another co-host.
Yeah, no, I'm good here.
I mean, at this point, it's either Dennis Black and Asian, Sierra, or I'll have to go get a white guy.
Brian Mann.
Yeah, that might make the show more popular in Trump's America.
It might.
Hashtag message. But one thing that is always popular, Marcus, and that's where we're going to start off this week in the A block, is All-Star Weekend for the National Basketball Association. I think, would it be fair to say, Marcus, the NBA does All-Star / Pro Bowl weekend better than any other major sport?
Oh, by far. It's the best. It's the best fan experience. It's the best of the Saturday night experience in terms of the extra event. The game itself, I guess it's the best by default. I mean, I think it's always entertaining somewhat, but there's no defense. I mean, it's better than NHL, and it's definitely better than Pro Bowl.
Yeah. I actually might like the Major League Baseball All-Star, the actual game, a little bit better.
Yeah. I don't know. Baseball. I find the baseball to be a little dry. I do like the event that for NBA, you can have a guy just pull off a dunk. It's a lot more exciting for
it's definitely more of a show.
Twitter culture. It's more of a show. Baseball is more of a still. It's still a baseball game. It's still baseball.
don't mind if they're wearing different uniforms. It's still baseball.
Yeah.
This year the All-Star Game is taking place in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center. Because of a bathroom.
Uh oh.
What's that? You got a storm warning?
Yep. Told you, man.
The final kings of sport.
Let me get on the. Where's my raft? Pack up the animals. What did you say before that warning went off?
The game's taking place in New Orleans.
Yes.
Due to a bathroom bill.
Yes. This was supposed to be Charlotte.
In Charlotte. Yep. So real quick, I guess let's get political since we've already taken some sideways shots at our commander in chief. What did you make of that, Marcus? Were you in support of that? Not your commander in chief.
In favor of them moving the game?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think the NBA of the major leagues is the most progressive when it comes to social issues, and I appreciate the league sort of doing that because I know it was it's a hassle moving a game that with that short of a notice, and finding another city to take it on. And luckily, New Orleans, they've had all-star games in 2008 and 2014, they're now hosting it again. And it's a city that who doesn't want to go to New Orleans? Number one. Number two, in terms of the location, it's ideal in terms of the Smoothie King Center is walking distance from the hotels, and it's easy to get around. The weather is generally nice in February in New Orleans. So, listen, the last couple of years, Toronto, New York, great cities. I love them both. But when it comes to all-star shenanigans, it's a little hard to get turned up when it's 0 degrees outside. So,
yeah, I'm in favor of it too. You know, I know that it sucks for the actual people of Charlotte that didn't support this bill.
Mm-hmm.
The people working at the stadiums and the businesses around. I know, like, this is not the only event that they've missed out on because of this. But you're right, the NBA certainly has been the most progressive and the most socially conscious of the major sports leagues, and so I have no problem with this. And I think that a lot of times change happens because of not a bullet and not even a ballot. It happens because of the pocketbook. And when you mess with people's money, that's when people start to get the angry. So hopefully this will be the start to the people in Charlotte and in the government taking a look at this thing and maybe making some changes.
On a side note, I find it curious that the CIAA has not made any comments about the bathroom bill, and their basketball tournament is coming up in a couple weeks. I mean, what are your thoughts about that? Do you expect everyone to leave town, or do you at least expect people to acknowledge what's going on within the state, or what?
Well, I think there's a couple ways you can handle it, Marcus. Like, you can outright move like the NBA did. But like you said, there are some logistical things that take place when, you know, this is an event that you've been planning for at least a year in this location and you got to move. So if you're not going to move, I would think that you would at least have to address the thing. You would at least have to address the issue and maybe even allow some of the participants to voice their displeasure with the bill. But, you know, it can't be a situation where you actually have the event in the city and you don't allow people to voice their opinions, because then that's just un-American. You know, that's, you know, violating, not violating any laws, I guess, but it's silencing people and censoring people, and that's not a good look.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting though, man, because it's, I think that it's something that, again, it sucks for the businesses and then the regular folk, but this is how change happens sometimes. And so I think the NBA, didn't they say that they were going to look again at Charlotte in a couple years? So maybe, you know, 2019, 2020, they've gotten their act together and they can have the game there.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what's going on with the state at that point, but Texas is another state that the NBA and the NFL has basically come out and warned them over their bathroom bill. So that's another state where it could be interesting, where let's see if the Super Bowl goes back to Jerry's world, if this bill is on the book. So
yeah. And there is a precedent for this, you know, because back in the day, Arizona got a lot of heat.
Yep.
During, you know, when they weren't acknowledging Martin Luther King's holiday. So, you know, this has happened before. And, you know, when you look back with the lens of history, it's better to be on the right side than the wrong side. So I think that these states will get in line eventually. This might take some time.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go from... trying to think of a good segue. I could have said let's transition to another topic, but that would have been insensitive.
Yes, it would have been.
So that's why I didn't say it, people. So let's just get into the All-Star game itself. We got our Eastern Conference All-Star roster and our Western Conference All-Star roster. Let's start in the East, where you got Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan, LeBron James, Jimmy Butler, and the Greek Freak, because I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
Giannis. I can't even do it now.
Yeah, so you came in all strong, thinking he was going to show
I
me.
I know, right? Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
I can say it in my head. That's all that matters.
Giannis, that's all you got to know. Yeah. Giannis, those are your starters. Then your reserves, Isaiah Thomas, John Wall, Carmelo Anthony, who in a ironic twist of fate is replacing an injured Kevin Love, Kyle Lowry, Paul George, Kemba Walker, and Paul Millsap. Brad Stevens is the coach. And then on the West, you got Steph Curry, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis as your starters. Russell Westbrook, who might be the most watched reserve in this entire game. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Boogie Cousins, Marc Gasol, DeAndre Jordan, and Gordon Hayward as your reserves, with Steve Kerr from the Golden State Warriors as your head coach. With those names, Marcus, did you feel anybody was left out that should have made the team, or were you fine with these picks?
I was not thrilled with Carmelo Anthony becoming a replacement pick this week.
You'd have gone with Bradley Beal?
I would have gone Beal. I would have gone Porzingis.
Mm.
I feel like I'm missing someone there from the East. Can't say I would have done Melo, that's for sure. It's not like the Knicks are good, you know. The Knicks are bad. The Knicks are borderline terrible, so I'm not sure why Carmelo. If anyone, it should be Porzingis off the Knicks.
Say, if they were going to take any Knicks, they should have taken Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later, folks. Don't worry. I think I probably would have gone with Beal myself, but... getting back to our original thoughts on the All-Star game, if it is a show, I guess it makes sense to put the biggest star in. And Anthony, while not the best player available, is certainly the biggest name, I guess, that's available.
That is true. I mean, he is a name, and he is, I think this is his 10th All-Star game, I want to say. So.
Yep. Plus, you know, they just want to put Melo and Bron out there on the court to keep those rumors going.
Rumors, yes, yes, yes. Trade deadline is 6 days away.
So, real quick before we look over at the West, do you think Melo's going anywhere? Do you think he'll be moved before the deadline, or will he be stuck in the hell that is the New York Knicks organization?
Nah, I think he's staying put. I don't see the Knicks trading him.
How long does he have left on his contract?
3 years.
Damn.
3 years, hey, for a lot of money.
I was going to say, it's we all make deals, so.
Yes.
You're never going to win anything, but hey, you'll be a well-paid loser.
And listen, that's why you have the Olympics, I guess. You can win your gold medals and collect on your $24.5 million paycheck.
out west, I know earlier in the week there was a little bit of rumbling about your man LaMarcus Aldridge saying that it doesn't make sense that there's only one San Antonio Spur on the Western Conference All-Stars. Do you agree with LaMarcus, or you think he should have just kept his mouth shut?
Yeah, he should have kept his mouth shut. No one's checking for what LaMarcus Aldridge is thinking.
No. I mean,
and in general, that's not a team that is sort of making those headlines. The biggest headlines from that team comes from Popovich, usually being outspoken about things in the news. But it just seems like, you know, just quiet. Like, LaMarcus in general, since his time in San Antonio, it's been a disappointment. And I thought with Duncan gone, he would sort of take that next step and look like the LaMarcus of the Portland days. But he's sort of taken a step back. His scoring's down. His shooting percentage is down this year. So I'm not sure what's up with him. His rebounds are down, which is really surprising because Duncan's gone. So yeah. Just focus on you, LaMarcus.
And the other thing with the Spurs, like, even during their heyday, like, you'd have Duncan and Ginobili and Tony Parker on the All-Star team, but it almost seemed more a grudging admission of their skill and their talent rather than these are hot stars we need to have in this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, yeah, we'll put them in because they're good and they're deserving, but and ain't nobody really checking, like you said, to see any San Antonio Spur other than Tim Duncan at the time and now other than Kawhi Leonard in this All-Star game.
Yeah, it's just Kawhi. That's it.
But the other big subplot, or maybe to some markets it's the main plot of this All-Star game, is the bitter feud between Russell Westbrook and the Golden State Warriors. What do you make all this, and how much playing time on the court do you think we'll actually see with Russ and KD?
I think Steve Kerr will deliver at some point. This is like the equivalent of going to WrestleMania and then having to sit next to Alfred Kunnel in the press box.
it's like somewhere you want to be, but it's like, do I really want to be next to this dude?
Yeah.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. I'm proud of myself for that one.
That's an excellent analogy.
That this is what this is. I mean, these are two guys who don't talk, who...
And here's the thing, Marcus. I don't hate Alfred.
Uh-huh.
I'm not particularly fond of Alfred, but like, I don't have a burning, seething resentment for Alfred that I think about every day. Whereas with Russ, you know, that man wakes up and he's doing sit-ups and he's got like a big 8x10 of Kevin Durant taped to the wall.
Yeah.
And he hates this dude for the way that he left Oklahoma City. Like, so I can imagine, like, as uncomfortable or awkward as it would be for me to watch WrestleMania with Alfred, it's got to be 10 times worse for Russ to be out there with KD.
Yeah, in this case, Durant would be Alfred. But we don't have the Russ-like hate for his departure. We're just more confused. So that's the big difference.
I think the undersold kind of thread or storyline in this is, like, I want to see Steve Kerr put Harden, Durant, and Westbrook out there.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Like, I want that reunion out there.
What,
and then just throw Draymond in just for shits and giggles.
What could have been?
I think this will be a fun game, man. But by the same token, I think that drama is probably going to be what most people actually tune into the game to see. And I think, man, Russ is going to show out, I think.
For Russell to show out, someone has to pass him the ball, in theory, unless he's just doing a not pass at all, which
flew. So you're assuming Russ is going to pass the ball when he gets it.
Yeah, which made things
like awful. I heard somebody on the radio today when I was going to work, and it just literally made me laugh out loud. They were like, Russ is going to be so petty in this game that him and Durant could be on a 2-on-1 fast break, and Russ would fake the alley-oop just to get Durant to go up and then dunk on Kevin Durant while he's in the air. Like, Russ would do some shit like that. Are you looking forward to the game? Is this something that you're actually excited to watch?
I wouldn't say excited. I mean, I watch every year, but I wouldn't.
You watch out of due diligence and obligation for being black?
Exactly.
Like, the NBA All-Star Game is to kind of middle-aged black men what the Masters are to old white men.
Yes. A tradition like no other.
Like no other.
Hello, friends.
But you know what? I think my favorite part, like you mentioned, Marcus, is kind of not even the game itself, but the festivities surrounding it. Not really the Friday night stuff, because I'd have no need to watch the celebrity game, especially when Kevin Hart's not in it.
You just missed it. I only watched because of Jamel and Mike.
Okay. Oh, that's right. They were the coaches.
They were the coaches. It was not good. I couldn't tell you who won, but it was not good.
I'm mad Stan Verrett didn't get any run this year because he's from New Orleans.
He is. He's a native.
Yeah. Mark Cuban played, I guess.
Cuban played, yeah. He was
I'm looking at the celebrity roster. Cuban, Master P, Lil Romeo. Anthony Mackie.
Yeah,
Baron Davis.
Peter Rosenberg.
Baron Davis identified as NBA legend.
Mm.
Is that a little too strong?
A little bit.
Peter Rosenberg, Nick Cannon. Jason Williams, also identified as an NBA legend.
Oscar Schmidt. Basketball legend.
They've got some interesting, like, this game doesn't feel as celebrity heavy as games in the past.
No. There are a lot of people who are like, what are you famous for?
Like, even just like Justin Bieber or Kevin Hart, like, they add to the celebrity game.
I think the hockey game might have had more celebs than NBA, at least hockey and Bieber this year.
Huh. I'm looking here at Rising Stars Challenge. They changed the format again this year.
It's been like that. It's been international versus U.S.
Yeah. How long have they been doing it like this?
A couple years at least.
Okay, because I know, like, for a time back in the day, it was East and West, just like the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
Then they did the sophomores versus the
rookies.
And then they did, like, I think one year it was like Isaiah Thomas and somebody else just picking from a pool of sophomores and rookies.
Yeah.
And they mixed and matched. So now they're for the last couple of years they've been doing international versus Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been enthralled by the Rising Stars game.
It's all star light in terms of lack of defense and dunks.
Let's see. We've also got the Skills Challenge coming up. That's tonight.
That's on Saturday.
That's on Saturday?
Mm-hmm. So I guess tonight when you're listening, maybe.
Yeah, maybe tonight when you're listening. So we got the Skills Challenge on Saturday, the three-point, of course, on Saturday, featuring Marcus's boy, Swaggy P.
Nick Young.
And the Slam Dunk Contest.
Featuring nobody's boy, Derrick Jones.
Derrick Jones, who most people just found out about this week.
Yeah, from UNLV.
Yeah. Dude's got some crazy dunks, though. I saw some of his work on YouTube.
Yeah, he's got some hops. He's my sneaky underdog favorite to win.
I think it'll be between him and Gordon, who a lot of people would say won it last year.
Mm-hmm.
But Zach LaVine got it. LaVine's hurt this year. So we got Derrick Jones from the Suns, Aaron Gordon from the Magic, Glenn Robinson from the Pacers, and DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers. One of those things is not like the other, Marcus.
Would that be DeAndre? DeAndre can dunk?
He can dunk, but I think it's always a, challenge.
You're hating on the tallies.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's always a challenge, though, for the big guys. Because it doesn't look as impressive.
Hey, Dwight, man.
Yeah, Dwight did the damn thing in the dunk contest. But Nate Robinson literally and figuratively upstaged him the next year.
Yeah.
That's still one of my favorite dunks ever.
Nate's back in basketball. He's in the D-League.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Good for him. I was always a fan of Nate Robinson.
He was, I remember him back in Washington when he played football. He was a cornerback. Split his time.
Him and Glenn Davis, Big Baby. They were a good little team, little Shrek and Donkey.
Yeah.
Big Baby, who took some shots at your man, Doc Rivers.
Yeah, he's out of basketball for a reason.
And it's not just because he couldn't step away from the dinner table.
Yeah.
So, real quick, let's get some predictions, Marcus. Who wins and who's the MVP in the All-Star game?
Going with the West. And I'm going with the ball hog, Westbrook.
Okay. The West is interesting because I could buy Curry. I could buy Durant. James Harden, who might be the most overlooked guy in all this. Or maybe even Anthony Davis, the hometown guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I want the East to win, but they won't. Just looking at the rosters, it's like, yeah, it's – I mean, not that the East is scrubs, but the West is certainly deeper. And I'm going to say Russ wins because he's going to be fueled by hate, man. Hatred is, as we saw with Tom Brady, hatred is a powerful motivator.
It is. It's a wonderful thing sometimes.
Hatred can be the wind beneath your wings. So that's our thoughts on the All-Star game for 2017. And we'll be back next week, depending on if anything out of the ordinary pops off, to give our thoughts on that. But before we get out of here in the A-Block, Marcus, we mentioned your beloved New York Knicks. I know you're a Lakers fan, but, you know, out of the two of us, you spent time in New York.
Yeah, I got a special place in my heart for the New York Knicks.
So they your boys. They're on your account, as they would say around the horn. The Charles Oakley-James Dolan beef that we saw unfold recently, a lot of people have been asking me on Twitter and on Facebook, what's Marcus's thought on that? My first response is, you don't give a damn about my thoughts? but secondly, what are your thoughts, Marcus, with this whole thing between Charles Oakley and maybe one of the worst owners in professional sports, James Dolan?
I think both parties were probably in the wrong in how they handled this situation.
You mean pushing the security guard in the face is not the way to handle conflict?
Not the way to do it. I did like the it wasn't just a push. It was like a finger, like finger to the dome. He got finger domed twice.
Great restraint though by the security guard.
Oh, they knew. They knew. That's why. Imagine if they send cops, like
man.
Yeah. And who knows? I mean, the reason why I sort of cringed when he did that, because who knows if, like, that security guard was, a cop on the side or
right. Not
in his uniform. The fact that he just took it to that level so quickly, without really being provoked, from what I could tell, it wasn't like they were getting too physical with him. They were just basically asking him to leave. So that was a bit of a red flag for me. And then, you know, the stuff on the way out where he told the guards, you know, you perform fellatio on James Dolan. So that wasn't good. But what was worse was Dolan's response to it all, blasting Oakley in the media, going on Michael Kay's radio show, and insinuating that Oakley is a drunk. And his petty statement he released that night when Oakley got arrested, saying, you know, he wishes that Oakley would get help for whatever is ailing him. So, I mean, Dolan is the worst. He is your modern day Donald Sterling. He's got no spine. He shouldn't be running this team. He's run this team into the ground. If I'm a Knicks fan, at some point you need to stop coming out to the Garden and supporting this team. It's not even like the product is terrible. The Knicks aren't good. And B, they have the most expensive tickets in the league. So it's not even a cheap product to go to. So you're paying all this money, which is going into Dolan's pocket directly. So I would like to see Knicks fans at one point this season just to not go to a game. Because nothing would drive him crazier than to see a half-empty Madison Square Garden.
That'd be great if, like, nobody showed up but Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oakley's just sitting across from him across the court. Just Oakley and Spike Lee.
So, I mean, he's at this point, he's not going to sell the team. I don't see why he would. Even though, if he did sell the team, he would make his money back and then some.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's...
I mean, despite how terrible they've been for a long time now, like, that's still a premier franchise.
It is. Forbes had their list this week of the top franchises. Let me see where the Knicks were on that list.
How much did Ballmer pay for the Clippers?
Oh, it was at least a couple billion.
You figure if he got that for the Clippers, you could probably get more than that for the Knicks.
The Knicks are valued at $3.3 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as Spike Lee would say, do the right thing, Jim Dolan.
Mm-hmm.
So, that way you won't have 53-year-old retired players trying to whoop your ass.
The Lakers are at $3 billion, despite being the Lakers.
Oh, but speaking of the Lakers real quick while we're talking about this list, what do you make of your man Magic coming back to the family? And does this mean the end for Jim Buss?
Oh, I think that he wouldn't come back unless Jim was on his way out, because I'm pretty sure those two don't like each other. I don't know how plugged in Magic is in terms of the day to day in the basketball world. He's still good in terms of, like, hey, when Magic Johnson calls you, you're going to answer that call.
There.
When Jim Buss calls you, you're not going to answer that call. So having,
I mean, even as just a figurehead, you know, he's a good look for the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, he was sort of that person with the Dodgers, even though baseball wasn't his sport that he was known for. But just sort of having his presence around with the team, and he was loyal. He was always at Dodger games. He would, you know, sit in the front row, and it brings sort of that star power, some of that Hollywood flair to your franchise. And the Lakers, who have not been the Lakers for going on, 5 years now at least, they could use some of that positive shine from someone like a Magic Johnson, who, sorry, Kobe, Magic will go down as the top Laker of all time. And, you know, if Magic is really going to have, you know, power in terms of, you know, day-to-day privileges in the front office, bringing Kobe back in some type of role is not a bad idea, just to have Kobe around those guys. I'm shocked that he's been this quiet in retirement, Kobe Bryant, that is. I mean, usually when a guy retires, you still see him lingering around or in the news, but when's the last time you've seen Kobe in the news?
It's been a while.
I mean, he's been incognito as much as you can be for a celebrity. So having Toby back around, I think, would be good. We don't need Toby coaching. We don't need Toby really giving his opinion to you know, D'Angelo Russell. But
just, honestly, I obviously he hadn't been great, but I don't think Walton's done a terrible job.
Yeah, he's had a terrible team. He'll be fine.
Yeah, like that squad's not that good.
Yeah, but you know, if you come July when free agency time and you walk into a room as a free agent and you look across the table and it's Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, you listen. I mean, yeah, you have to listen to that pitch, so it'll help.
And so, unfortunately, all Jim Dolan can offer on that front is Latrell Sprewell.
Sprewell and who else?
Grandma Ma.
Yeah, Larry Johnson. Who else he dragged back?
How pathetic was that? He had to bring his black friends. Johnson part of the team in terms of management?
Larry? I don't think he is. If so, it's not a high position, I don't think. And then Sprewell has been disowned for years.
Yeah, they made that big show of bringing Sprewell back. Like that's real coincidental.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your Knicks, Marcus.
Nah.
Worst franchise right now, the Knicks or the Jets?
Oh, the Knicks.
The Knicks.
Yeah. High expectations. Jets. Yeah. Jets, low expectations. Knicks fans, it's mostly Knicks fans, to be honest. They think they're entitled to winning. I think more so the Lakers fans, they looked at their product and they think, oh, NBA championship. No. This isn't a bit three. This is a big 1.5 with Porzingis being the one.
Yeah, who was then, that called him? Was it Derrick Rose?
Yeah, Rose, Melo, and Porzingis. Get out of here. Mr. AWOL himself, so.
Right. So, yeah, those are your Knicks, man. So, last thing before we get out of here, how long you think before Phil Jackson just like, you know what, I'm good?
Oh, end of the season.
So you think he's done at the end of the season?
I think he's done, and it would not surprise me if he's part of that Laker mix again, because if you come back home, the one thing he's missing, I'm sure, is Genie.
I was going to say, maybe rekindle that old flame.
Mm-hmm. He's going to give it all up for love.
He's going to come back singing that Lenny, was it Lenny Williams? A girl, you know, I
love you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, now I just want to see Phil Jackson just leaving a long-ass voicemail on Genie's phone. Like, girl, you know, I walked around town last night, and I watched television till television went off.
Who gets married first, Phil Jackson or John Cena?
Oh, man. I would hope Phil. Because
he's older.
Yeah, A, he's older, and B, this whole proposing to your wife at WrestleMania. Oh. Like, I don't know if that's the best look. Like, I've never been married, Marcus, so maybe you have more insight on this than me, but I don't think that's something that would be, you know, a great story 5 years down the road.
Before I rip John Cena for that, who started that rumor? I'm not buying that.
It's unconfirmed, but yeah, it would not surprise me. Like, yeah, 20 years from now, talking to the grandkids. So how did you propose to Mom? Well, it was after a tough match with The Miz. I just gave my attitude adjustment, and then I said, Nikki, will you marry me? Oh, I don't know what's crazier, wrestling or the Knicks?
The Knicks.
The Knicks. The answer is always the Knicks. So, yeah, those are Marcus's thoughts on the Charles Oakley situation. So hopefully the listeners enjoyed that, the ones that have been asking me about it.
Yeah, stop asking Nate.
Yeah, stop asking me. Am I my brother's keeper? But we'll be back after the break, Marcus. We were going to start our WrestleMania series this week, but I think we're going to push it back another week. And instead, let's get straight to the foolishness and come back on the other side with segment 4.
This is your protest to Bray Wyatt, huh?
Yeah, this is, you know, you mentioned Alfred, and Alfred's boy Bray Wyatt is your new WWE World Champion. So it's like, you know what? No, not going to do it this week. Not feeling. So don't you guys go anywhere, because up next, it's Marcus and myself talking some ratchetness in segment four. So don't go anywhere, because we've got more Kings of Sport right after this.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
What's going on, party people and everybody out there in podcast land? It's your man, Nate. And we'll get back to the show in just a little while. But while we got some time, I just wanted to let you guys know the three ways you can get in touch with the Kings of Sport. Way number one, you can tweet us on Twitter, because that's where people tweet people, apparently. You can hit us up on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Way number two, you can email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. That's thekingsofsport@gmail.com. And finally, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So there you have it. Those are the three ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave feedback. You can join the discussion. Three ways you can be down with the Kings. We good, Marcus? Do we have to pay warranty for this? Because I ain't got G-Funk money.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport. Marcus and Nate holding things down for yet another week. This is our final segment of the show this week. We said, we're not talking wrestling this week out of protest. And I don't want to take the rest of this Valentine's weekend away from Marcus. I'm sure he's got big plans in this rain.
No.
Said no. But yeah, it is time for segment four. And if you're new to the program, segment four is our weekly repository of ratchetness, where Marcus and I find some of the craziest stories in the world of sports, pop culture, pro wrestling, politics, and we break it down. And so, Marcus, you told me that you have a story this week.
I do. We're talking politics, sort of. Linda McMahon had her confirmation hearing this week. in D.C. For her position as Small Business Administration Chief.
Mm-hmm.
And with most confirmation hearings, you bring down the family to Washington, D.C. just to cheer you on. And Linda brought the family.
The entire family?
The entire family. So not just Vince.
Right.
Not just Shane.
Okay.
He brought Stephanie. She brought Stephanie.
Your man Paul?
My man Paul. And the kids. And during their time in D.C., they made it to the White House. And Nate, let me send this to you right now.
All right. Hi, Marcus has sent me this right here. Let me go in and take a look at it. Oh no.
Oh yes.
Wow.
McMahon's took a photo in the White House with President Trump.
Wow.
All the grandkids and all the kids.
Man, that one grandkid in the middle looks a lot like Vince.
Next to Stephanie?
Yeah.
The one Stephanie's holding?
Yep, he's got like Vince's facial features.
Yeah, the lips.
Yep, lips. He's going to be the one that takes over the business. I don't know I don't know which kid belongs to whom, but that's going to be the one. He's going to be the next one.
Yeah, Triple H looks asleep. And then some of the kids look bored.
Shane looks like he's not even part of the family.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's Shane's wife.
I also love how Shane's wearing the blue tie. Maybe that's a little subtle form of protest.
Mm-hmm.
Vince and Triple H are both wearing red ties.
Of course. Power ties.
Shane's sitting there thinking, damn, why couldn't we have done this when the black guy was in office? Oh, and they're holding up a picture of Trump getting his head shaved at WrestleMania.
No, not Trump. McMahon.
Vince, my bad. Vince, after the match with Trump, getting his head shaved. Man.
So, wrestling fans sort of knew that Linda was involved with the Trump administration, but it wasn't something you heard on TV. It was something that you really had to get around to find out. But this is the most blatant thing, I think, in terms of since Trump took office, where I could see wrestling fans maybe getting a little uncomfortable with all this relationship. But at the same time, maybe the demographic or wrestling fans are Republican, and this is not an issue for them.
It's a couple things. I think, yes, there is a significant percentage of wrestling fans that probably a little bit more conservative. But I also think for all that was made after Trump got elected, and you heard so many people saying that they were going to cancel their network subscription, mm-hmm. or they weren't going to watch the WWE. How many of those people are still talking that talk now, you know, after the Rumble and after the Elimination Chamber, and we're getting closer to WrestleMania? Most of those people came back.
Of course, because wrestling fans are are wrestling fans.
It's like, I'm standing by my principles. I'm going to boycott the WWE. Wait, Goldberg's back?
And it's free to WrestleMania? Okay.
Right. Okay.
I'm protesting starting April 3rd.
You gotta wait till the Raw after WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, well it's SmackDown now, so
yeah,
April 5th, I guess.
I don't think this is gonna have any effect on their business. Not one bit, man.
Which is, I guess it's the way it should be. It should be two separate things. Whatever Linda wants to do. Listen, it's not a surprise she's a Republican. She ran as a Republican and lost twice. So I think most people shouldn't be surprised that Vince or the McMahons in general donated money to the Trump campaign. And to be honest, like, Trump being involved isn't anything new. Trump's been involved since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, we've now found out over the last, I would say, 3 to 4 years that Trump is batshit crazy. So that's a little different than, you know, having Trump at WrestleMania 4 and thinking, oh, he's just Donald Trump. But you're right. I don't expect any major blowback. I would like to see if there's going to be any type of WrestleMania protest or demonstration. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and let's see. Orlando, I'm trying to think. Orlando, you might see a little bit of demonstrations. But for the most part, like you said, man, these are wrestling fans. And I mean, if you want to be real with it, Marcus, if they haven't been ticked off by the way WWE for years has portrayed like minorities and women,
mm-hmm,
and gay folks and other groups that are not, you know, straight white men, and they, to be fair, they've gotten better more recently, but still, like, the history is there. Like, if they weren't upset about that, I don't think they're going to care one bit about Linda being a part of the Trump administration.
That's a good point. Yeah. And it'd be interesting to see if, like, say if they had a top wrestling star who was from one of those countries that were impacted by the short-lived Trump travel ban. I wonder what that would be like if, you know, John Cena just happened to be, I don't know, from Iran's on the list, right? Iran?
I believe so.
Yeah. So let's just say they had the Iranian John Cena, or actually maybe Cena's a bad example because Cena's so polarizing. Well, let's use Sami Zayn for example. Let's say Sami had more Iranian roots and had Iranian roots and was a bigger star, at least in terms of like the internet darlings. I'd be interested to see what the backlash or support for Sami would be when it comes to fans. So
I mean, that's another issue that right there, you know, in terms of top stars that are of different ethnicities. Because honestly, outside of the New Day, who are in a kind of separate category, there really isn't somebody on the top of the card that's not, quote unquote, a white meat American, you know? I guess your man Seth Rollins got Hispanic roots, but he certainly doesn't play up to it.
Just on Twitter.
His Twitter personality, like Seth Rollins, sometimes he goes hard on Twitter.
He's very woke.
He's real woke on Twitter, but as soon as Raw starts, he gets a little drowsy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, like if Samoa Joe was from Iran, or if Samoa Joe was, you know, not Samoan and instead was Pakistani Joe, an interesting character. it'd be interesting to see what the reaction from fans would be if it actually affected their entertainment. Because I think that's the biggest thing in all of this, Marcus, regardless of your political leanings, it really has not influenced the actual product. You know, we've seen in years past when Obama was in office or the stuff with the fake Bill Clinton, Vince was a little bit more willing to make little slick statements on his TV shows. But as soon as Trump got elected, he's been very quiet and I think very wise to kind of distinguish his entertainment from Donald Trump and his political leanings.
Actually, it was a good one. Iron Sheet.
Yeah.
If the Iron Sheet was back
in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That'd be something.
In fact, Donald Trump, make him humble.
the fact that Slaughter had that gimmick.
Yeah, the Iranian sympathizer.
Could you imagine?
Was he the Iraqi sympathizer?
Could you imagine He was. It's basically like Homeland.
Yeah, yeah.
But in wrestling, he turned on his country, and for 1991, that was cool. Like, I mean, people were upset. Like, people were pissed. I mean, that's. I think part of the rumors why that WrestleMania got moved from outdoors indoors. I think part of it was the fact that they couldn't sell the Coliseum, but the other part too is a security issue. But yeah, people were pissed, and you would never see anything like that in today's world in wrestling. They shy away from all that stuff now. It's probably for the best, but they shy away from it.
I mean, I guess you could say that's progress, Marcus.
That's something.
Man, this picture right here with Trump and the McMahons, it might be the happiest I've seen Trump since January 20th.
He's like, finally, some people who like me. Some familiar faces.
Yes. And I still can't get it. Man, I can't get over how much that kid looks like Vince. He's even got like the kind of almost like the Vince hair. Like, yeah, that's going to be the kid in 20 years that's going to be running the company.
Yeah, that must be. That's Shane's kid.
That's Shane's kid?
Because Stephanie has all daughters. So.
Okay. So Shane's got, there's what, three girls and three boys?
Oh, that's, yeah, it worked out that way.
So
yeah.
Shane's got all the boys and Steph's got all the girls.
Yeah.
Wow, you know that burns up your man Paul inside. I need to spawn a male heir to the throne.
Maybe one more. Maybe they'll have one more.
Oh man! Wow. Yeah. These. This is you know, I love kids, Marcus. But just watching this is a little unsettling, and then this is going to be an unfair statement.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be reckless speculation.
Uh-oh.
There's six kids here, and I would wager at least four of them are going to be insensitive to minorities over the course of their lifetime.
Oh, Nate.
They learn it at home. Like, well, to be fair to Stephanie and Triple H, Shane, they learned it from Grandpa.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
Those kids are going to do some oppressing over their lifetime, Marcus. I can just see it. I want to be optimistic for the future. But yeah, those kids are going to do some oppressing. And I think we need to post this picture. I know a lot of folks have seen the picture already. But we might have to post it on the Kings of Sport Facebook page so the listeners can get a look at it if they haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, we'll toss it up there.
Because it's a remarkable picture that doesn't make any sense at all, Marcus, but at the same time, it makes perfect sense.
You know how sitting presidents usually throw out the first pitch at baseball games and
yeah.
How do we get Trump to WrestleMania?
Oh, oh man, I could see him doing it.
I could see him doing it too.
Would he be the first sitting president to ever attend WrestleMania?
He would be. Wow. So for that reason alone, he would try to do it.
And not only is my administration running like a well-oiled machine, but I was the first president at the biggest WrestleMania ever.
Huge.
It's huge.
Too bad he wasn't president last year because he'd know he would have been at Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, oh, Jerry, Vince, and Trump in the same room. Come on, man. It's not often that Jerry Jones is the greatest human being in a room.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that case, Jerry Jones is going to be my boy.
Yeah.
Oh, America!
What have you done?
I think how many shows are we going to end with that statement?
I have 2018 for my impeachment pool, so we had a few more shows to go.
You're assuming he won't like have. I'm trying to think. It was a movie. Maybe it was Triple X, the second one with Ice Cube. That the president, it was either the president or the secretary of state, had like a secret army.
Mm-hmm.
And when they tried to get him out of power, he turned the secret army against the regular army. So yeah, I'm thinking, you know, Trump's got a secret army.
Yeah, it's called White America.
Not all of White America, to be fair.
No, there's the Dylann Roof white America.
Yeah, yeah. Not our listeners.
No. I should clarify.
Our listeners are kind, compassionate people.
We hope.
Even the conservatives are compassionate conservatives, like your man George W. Bush used to say.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how bad is it that George W. Bush looks great by comparison?
Miss it, W.
Yeah, like for real. Like, oh, yeah, America. Like we had the president of the United States yelling at the press the other day, people.
To sit down and shut up.
Yeah. And then when the one reporter was like, have you talked to the Congressional Black Caucus? I want to. Can you get me in touch with them? Can you set that up for me?
God, can just imagine Trump doing his WrestleMania spot and then introducing Hulk Hogan.
Oh yeah, you joke, Marcus, but considering what went down with Michael Flynn, Hogan might be our new national security advisor.
By the way, I'm pretty sure he's coming back this year, which is gonna be interesting.
Yeah, he's coming back, man. Yeah. He's coming back. Like, again, this is a country that just elected Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well,
nobody worried about Hulk Hogan.
I think if he comes back, he's got to do the apology right away. That first promo, he's got to apologize.
Oh, you know what? If he comes back, he has to do a segment with the New Day. And he has to allow himself to get roasted.
Oh.
Just have Hulk come out, get the big pop, and then the New Day come out and allow them to have some fun with Terry.
I like it.
Like have Xavier Woods come out like on some stilts. Like I'm over that 7 foot tall limit. Yeah, like if you're really about that reconciliation, Terry, you gotta eat some crow on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So not a good time for a WWE Hall of Famers. Your man Snuka. Terry's always out there, and we lost George Animal Steel this week.
Yes, he died Thursday night. Rest in peace. 79.
Yeah, he lived a good life.
He did. He also had Crohn's disease. He that sort of forced him out of wrestling in the 80s. He would go on to have his colon removed completely in 2002 as a result. So
still kicked around for another 15 years.
Yeah, he made appearances after that. So I guess he was.
I mean, he wrestled at that 2000 Monday Nitro that Brian and I reviewed a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Jeez. Oh, so he was, and the thing I didn't know about him, I knew he was smart, but I didn't know he had his undergrad degree from Michigan State, and he also has a master's degree.
Oh, wow.
From Central Michigan.
Dude with the green tongue had a master's degree.
Mm-hmm, the dude who Vince wouldn't let talk. And when he did talk, you thought he was an imbecile. He probably one of the smarter guys in the locker room.
Oh, Vince is a genius, though.
Mm-hmm. he was the white Kamala.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah, see, even white guys had to be buffoons back in the day. So we're not that different, everybody. the little things are similarities that'll bring us together.
Yes.
In this troubling time in our nation's history. but yeah, so I think we're gonna call it a show this week, Marcus, and let the people enjoy their weekend, and we'll come back next week. And officially kick off our road to WrestleMania. And as of right now, we've got Mike Mills, friend of the program, penciled in to come talk some wrestling. We'll probably talk some NBA. And then, of course, we'll have your weekly dose of ratchetness next week.
Wrestling, huh? I guess it's about time.
It's about time. If we don't talk wrestling now, when are we going to talk wrestling?
That's true.
It's like... If we don't talk wrestling during the build-up to WrestleMania, you're not getting any wrestling for the rest of the year.
Yeah, all right.
So, So buckle up, Marcus. You got to do it for the listeners.
Do it for the culture.
Do it for the culture. So unless you got anything else to say, Marcus, let's let the people know where they can find you and send their well wishes as you are facing this natural disaster. And no, I'm not talking about earthquake and typhoon. But as you're facing this crisis out there in L.A., where can the people hit you up to send you well wishes?
Can you be up on Instagram? Why do you still hit me up on Instagram? Twitter, Mark Cowill, MarcoWill. And if you have any Daytona 500 tips, let me know.
That's right. Marcus will be at the race. So you're heading out next week?
I leave Tuesday for Florida.
Okay. Yeah, so next week we'll get to hear Marcus say boogity, boogity, boogity.
Yes.
Let's go racing, boys. So, yeah, you can check Marcus out at Marco Will. You can find me on Twitter at @8, M-O-Z-A-I-K, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD. Check us out on Facebook, where you can find that lovely picture of McMahon and Trump and these sweet little kids who I hope and pray don't oppress anybody. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/kingsofsport. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and wherever you find your podcasts. And while you're there, rate the show, review the show, and most importantly, if you're digging what we're doing, share the show with your friends. So unless you got anything else, Marcus, we are going to get out of here and come back and try it again next week.
It's all like that.
All right. So thanks again for listening and downloading the show, and we'll catch you back here next week for an all-new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. I couldn't even finish this with Marcus. Like when you're pulling out Smash Mouth to end the show.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
It's a stretch. So, yeah. We'll see you guys next week. Because you've been down with the Kings. Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD. Or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network. Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks. Brand new Cadillac, being nice and beat up. We gave them chains, outcast on the heat up. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.